That's my girl.
Constance Hall.
One of the most talked about bloggers in the country.
A look out!
Opinionated.
Raw.
Thought-provoking.
And never shy to have an opinion.
Annalise is her best friend.
The yin to her yang.
The gale to her Oprah.
She's the chic one. Just ask her.
A show for queens.
By queens.
No topic is too taboo.
A shame-free, judge-free space.
Oversharing, commiserating, and celebrating.
This is The Queen Sesh with Constance Hall and Annalise.
Come on, girls!
Good evening, Constance.
Good evening, beautiful.
So if you didn't catch us last year on Sunday mornings, we are The Queen Sesh. And I host with my beautiful bestie, Constance Hall. She's a writer. She's a blogger. She loves it when I say this. Now, Con, last week, the show had a real love theme for Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Which was nice and warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, it was okay.
Well, this week, we're smashing that because it's going to have an infidelity focus.
Yes, Queen.
Australia's heart has been ripped out by Married at First Sight and Barnaby Joyce. So we're going to delve right in there. So that's next
on. I couldn't really read my emails. I had no idea.
The Queen Sesh with Constance Hall and Annalise.
The rest of the country is talking about our favourite show in the universe.
And if they're not, they should be.
Married at First Sight. If you don't watch the show, really quick recap. You know, obviously two strangers get married,
yep,
fakely, but they live in this sort of marriage environment. And then they sort of get together with all the other 10 couples at big boozy dinner parties.
And they have fake marriages.
And they hang out.
Fake social scenarios in fake marriages.
Sure. Makes sense. So what has happened is that two of the contestants who are married to other people have secretly met up, they've got a text affair, and they have agreed to hook up and leave their other partners.
And disrespect the sanctity, what's the word I'm
the
looking
sanctity
for?
Of the fake
sanctity
marriage.
Sanctity of fake marriage.
Okay, so that bit's a joke. But what I don't like is that they have slept with these people that they're fake married to. They've actually had sex. So now they are actually cheating, as far as I'm concerned.
It's such a bizarre scenario, Annalise.
It is.
For everybody to go on the internet and go, oh, my God, they're cheating. And you're like, but it's not a real relationship. It's not a real marriage. Are we forgetting that we're on a TV show? Or is it a real marriage? I don't understand. I don't know. Michael Aiken, who we – is it John Aiken?
John Aiken, the relationship expert from the show.
Relationship expert looked defeated last night. Relationship expert looked defeated on Wednesday night when he saw his little experiment.
Rats.
His little rats on wheels were sliding off the wheels and swinging from fake husband to fake wife. It is appalling. Look, in all seriousness, it's hard to watch. It's very hard to watch.
It is.
The deceit's hard to watch. You feel terrible for the people that are getting lied to.
Yes.
But, you know, as I was saying to Denim, my husband, on our way here, had they have been a little bit more honest from the beginning, it's okay to not be attracted to someone.
Mm.
You know, like, that's okay.
And it's okay.
You can just go, okay, I am attracted to this person. And then you're going to hurt everyone's feelings. I see a really strong attraction between two of the contestants, the cheaters.
Mm.
But the way that they've gone about it, what the bloke is saying that he's, like, a fake wife. Her looks aren't her strong point. Oh, my God. If someone said that about me on national TV, I would be furious.
I know.
So, you know, there's just all this sort of lying and bitching and deceiving that just didn't need to happen. All you needed to say was, I'm done with you.
Mm.
You know, and one of the guys got the chick tattooed on him.
I know. And she should have just been honest and said, I'm just here for more Instagram followers. It's not about you.
And that's okay. That's the only reason I'm actually here today.
Exactly.
Is for more Instagram followers.
The Queen Sesh with Constance Hall and Annalise.
Annalise, last week I just wanted to do a massive shout out to single mums because me and you bitch and moan all the time about, you know, our depressing lives and we never really think about, like, I always go, and then I did this, oh, well, then I'm slept, nah. And then I was like, I often get comments from mums going, yeah, well, I'm on my own and I do all of that all the time. It is always my turn. And I was like, oh, that's true. So I've been putting together a little piece in my head, you know, a little ode to the single mothers out there, and it went mental. And do you know why I think it went so mental? Because I really thought about single mumming. And, you know, I've done my stints. I was raised by a single mum. I've got a bit of experience in the area. And It's actually way more fun and cool than people think.
Mm.
And it's like people just assume there's this struggle. And, you know, they think single mum struggle. Single dad's just this hot guy that goes surfing with his kids on the weekends.
Mm, the hero.
But a single mum is like this, yeah, the hero. Mm. Working mum whose car's breaking down, who needs, you know, and it's so not true. Like, all think about all the single mums that we know. They just kick ass and they're fun and they've really got their shit together. And no one pulls the pin out from underneath them. You know, like they if they're going out on Saturday night, they're going out on Saturday night and they don't have some husband that's like, nah, I don't think you should go because blah, blah, blah. Like, I just feel like they're organised, they've got their shit together, and I just wrote this yay for single mums post and it went mental. So,
yeah. And we thought it'd be fun to bring on, she's the queen of single mums. She's the creator of the singlemotherssurvivalguide.com. Welcome to the Queen Sesh, Julia Husher.
Oh, that's so nice. Hi, ladies. Thank you.
Thanks
Hello,
for
gorgeous.
Joining us.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So tell us why you started the Single Mother Survival Guide.
Basically, you know, I became a single mum almost 5 years ago now when my daughter was 2 months old, and I was just sort of looking for some resources and there just wasn't a lot out there, and I felt really alone. And, you know, obviously, you know, there's other single parents out there, but I didn't know any of them. And I was like, I don't have anyone to talk to. Like, I felt so overwhelmed. I felt so sad. I felt ashamed, you know, and I really just wanted to sort of connect with other women who were in a similar situation to me. So I started this group, which was just sort of like a local single mums group in my area. And then I realized that I sort of had this real passion for, you know, connecting with women that were single mums. And, you know, over time as I healed, I wanted to sort of create this platform that was not only beneficial to women in my local area, but to single mums on a national and, you know, even a global kind of scale. So, yeah, that's sort of why I started it.
So, Ken, I think it's just a fantastic idea and incentive because, you know, I remember one stage I was a single mum and I was thinking, just paying for rent alone is like so expensive and so hard to do. You kind of need a flatmate, but you kind of don't want a flatmate that's going to be drained by your kids around. So you kind of want another mum with a kid, really. But where do you go to find a woman who might want to share a house with you? Because, you know, the majority of your friends are probably shacked up.
Totally. I think, you know, connecting with other single mums has so many other benefits as well. Like, I kind of like to see myself as having sort of like other single mum wives.
Yes.
Yes.
You
that's
need
our
someone
dream.
Some, that,
yeah. Yeah, preaching to the converted, babe.
It's really nice to just have someone that you can run things by, you know, like my daughter's birthday party is coming up. And if you have a husband or a partner, you can be like, oh, what should we do about this? And,
yes.
Oh, you know, we need to do this. And which party, how should we do it? And if you have like another single mom who's going through exactly the same thing, you have each other to kind of talk those things through with. And then you've also got talking about dating. You can go on holidays together, you know, like you said, house sharing.
Absolutely.
So
these
many
are the
good things.
You need someone that you can check in with all day.
Totally.
Like when the kid's doing something cute, you need to send a photo of that kid to your mate who's actually going to care, not someone that's just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
can I
exactly.
ask you as well, when you say that you've been a single mum for 5 years, what do you define as a single mum? Like, have you been dating in that time? Or when someone moves in, do you stop becoming a single mum? Like, how does it work?
You know, this is such a common debate in so many single mums groups that I'm in. The way I see it is I'm a single mum. I think once you're a single mum, there's always a bit of an element to being a single mum.
Yes.
And, you know, I have dated in the last 5 years and I have had sort of longer term relationships, nothing really over 6 months, but, you know, more than dating, like they do meet your children and stuff, but they're not paying for my child's daycare. Mm-hmm. They're not making decisions for my child's life. So I think, you know, even when I'm dating, I'm still a single mum because the responsibility and everything still really lies on me, you
Absolutely.
Know? So,
see, I still kind of feel single mum-ish because
and
I've
you're
got
married.
My...
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. But I've obviously got a really involved husband, except there are certain things that just because he's not the biological father that he just doesn't do. Like, if he was the biological father, last night when I wanted to go to a parenting seminar, there's no way in hell I would have asked his permission. But because he isn't the biological father, I'm like, hey, babe, do you mind if I blah, 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 blah? And of course he was cool with it, like, not didn't even blink. But, you know, like, there's just so many elements. He doesn't get up in the morning and do school runs. done. He says that it's because, am I just bitching about my husband?
That's fine.
he says it's because I yell at my kids all morning to get everybody to ready for school, and he doesn't want to be part of that. But, you know, like, I actually don't yell that much, and I just know that it's because he wants to sleep in, and there's nothing I can do to make him wake up and help me, because I just don't feel like it's my right. So there's so many elements of my day where I'm still a single mum as far as I'm concerned, even though I'm in love and I've got a partner who's loving and we're having a baby together.
Yeah.
But I don't want to, like, say that. I don't want to take that away from single mums and go, yeah, I'm a single mum too.
Well, I think there is always a touch of it that's sort of still within you. But I think, you know, a lot of people, their husbands will go away and they're like, oh, I feel like a single mum. And you're like, no. Like, you know, you might feel like a single mum because you have to do everything by yourself for a few days in a row. But you can still call that person and go, oh, my God, you know, so-and-so's bringing a challenge. I don't know what to do. I've had such a terrible day. Or, you know, you've still got money coming in.
You need to transfer money into my account.
Exactly. Like,
it's true. Yeah. And also my other single friend said the exact same thing. She said, when you've got that break in the day of someone coming home, because she was a single mum from a very young, like, the kids were very young, so it wasn't like school run. And I think the school stuff is easier than being a single mum with babies. Because she said, when you've got the baby. Yeah, and no one's coming home to just hand over the baby or to just break up the day and just tell you how, you know, like she said that there's so, you can't say because your husband works away that you're like a single mum because you're not. And I was like, yeah, I get that. I really do. This being an actual single mum and doing everything on your own is a completely different story.
Yeah, totally. Even things like being so organised, because if you're at home late at night, and you've got babies in the house, and then you go, oh no, I don't have any milk. How are we going to have cereal in the morning?
Oh, I've got the answer, guys. What? It's Airtasker. I use it all the time. You put a job online and you get someone to deliver the milk for you.
Are you serious?
Yes, I Airtasker everything.
So many things about the city that I'm jealous of your life with.
Thanks, babe.
I can't even get Ubers.
Julia, we absolutely love what you've created and the community. And check it out. It's singlemothersurvivalguide.com. Julia Husher, thank
you so
much.
Is there a Facebook page?
There is. Single Mother Survival Guide and Instagram too. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Go to it, girls, because I know when I write these posts about single mums, a lot of women message me and go, how do I connect with other single mums? Please go to this. Even if you're planning to be single, not quite single.
You know what, though? That's not so unrealistic. A lot of people connect because they know that it's coming up and they want to know how to get themselves prepared.
Well, that's a good idea. That's really valid.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Julia.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Julia.
Thank you for having me, ladies.
The Queen Sesh with Constance Hall and Annalise.
And Con, you know how I love to bring in useless pieces of information to this show? Mm-hmm. Well, this one entertained me. So a long-lost sex manual from the 1720s has come to light.
I didn't even know people could write back then.
Yeah, so this is in the era of, you know, when people were getting, you know, what are they called? Executed for witchcraft. So it's
Yes.
Yeah, so it's 1720s, burnt at the stake. So this is this time. So it's a whole book, and the first half is sort of about anatomy and sex, and the second half is about children and midwifery. And some curious kind of theories came out of it. This one I'm going to really try maybe out for myself, because they believe that you can skew which gender you have. So if you want a boy, after post-coitus, a woman is to lie on her right side, and for a girl, she should lie on her left.
I just can't believe the shit you're willing to try.
Do you know what the worst one was, though? That imaginative women cause birth defects.
What? Oh, my God, that's ridiculous. That's really trying to squash women's spirits, isn't it?
Isn't it? And isn't
And I have had no babies with birth defects, so that is just going to have to throw that out of the water.
It made me really realise, I mean, I know that was 1,000 years ago, but how different it is now and how much of a battle that we've gone through to get
Absolutely.
Here today.
Absolutely. And also why we still have some everlasting seeds of doubt when something is wrong with a baby, that women do place some blame on themselves. And when we had things like, you know, your imagination causes birth defects that were published in books that people actually took seriously, you know, it just goes to show this is why we're still living in a world where we feel ashamed of miscarriages and we want to, you know, there's a dark cloud over things that go wrong during pregnancy. I had a dodgy ultrasound recently and it turned out to be fine, but the ultrasound technician was new and she just got the wrong measurements. And I automatically thought, what have I done? I haven't done anything, you know, like people are going to think I've done something. It's created something to go wrong with the baby, but everything was fine in the end. But that's just the way your brain goes to, you know, self-blame. And it comes from hundreds of years of blaming the woman.
And repression. Do you know what though? There was a fix for this imaginative women cause birth defects. And it said, if you earnestly look upon the man and fix her mind upon him, and if she does this and manages to control her corrupt thoughts, then the child will be born looking like its father.
The Queen Sesh with Constance Hall and Annalise.
Annalise, a few nights ago, or closer to a week ago, yes, I went out for dinner with my whole family, having a lovely night, and it was probably around 8:30 when we got home. Now, for some amazing reason, I was wearing shoes.
Which you never do.
Which I never do. I'm not wearing them now. But I was wearing thongs, and I walked into my house, and my kids were all pretty tired, so they're sort of all headed to bed. And I went to my kitchen, poured myself a glass of water. Denim was standing behind me and I stepped back. I stepped on something with my thong on, thank you very much. And so Denim and I were standing right there next to each other and we both squatted down at the same time to look at what it was that I stepped on. Because then I pulled my foot away, it looked like my daughter collects these little plastic animals from the toy shop. When I pulled my foot away, it sort of looked like one of them. So we both squatted down at the same time and then we looked at each other and I must have had the horror in my eyes and Denim just had this gleam like he knew that I was about to lose my shit completely. It was a newborn rat. Okay, it was about the size of my finger. And it did wriggle a little bit. And I just screamed and I ran around my house screaming to the point where like my little beautiful roomy three-year-old comes up and goes, you hurt? You hurt, mama? And I was like, ah, like Bollywood dancing, you know, like doing weird like contemporary moves because I was like gagging, dry retching. And Denim picks it up with his, without even a glove on, picks it up by the, by the tail. I mean, where the is its mother? Where is its family? Where are its brothers and sisters? What's going on? I don't know what Denim did with it, but he disposed of it somehow. I went to bed feeling so violated. I don't want to be in my house anymore. It's haunted as far as
move
I'm
out.
Concerned. And I put something on my private Facebook and people started coming up with all sorts of ideas like, oh, it could have been this, it could have been that. Somebody said it could have fallen through the roof because they often have babies in the roof. And I was like, that's actually like, my roof is like sort of plywood. What kind of wood is it, Denim? Plywood. So it's got these little gaps between it. And I thought, yeah, it could have maybe fallen through there if a mum up there had her baby. So the whole thing was really upsetting me. Anyway, in the morning I woke up because the twins woke up. So I get up early and make them breakfast and stuff. And I walked into the kitchen and I looked down and I thought I was seeing things. It was there again. But it was obviously one of its bloody brothers or sisters. So the mum's like half breastfeeding, half kicking her babies out of the bed and they're just flopping. So I screamed at Denim. He got up at 6 a.m. and came and disposed of yet another baby rat. Thankfully, I haven't seen another one, but it's like, it's lockdown at my house. We've got rat traps. We've got everything happening. Denim grabbed a rat trap yesterday and he said to me, come here. Shh, don't tell the kids. And I was like, what is it? I do not need to see a dead rat in it. It wasn't. It was a rat's hand. A rat had put his hand in to grab the apple or the piece of apple and the trap came down and it looked like a tiny human's hand. I don't even want to have another ultrasound, Annalise, because I'm scared it's going to look like the rat. Like, that is, this is like a horror film. It's so disgusting.
The Queen Sesh with Constance Hall and Annalise.
It's the Queen Sesh with Constance Hall and Annalise.
Annalise, recently I was having a conversation with a friend. You are going to be so disgusted by this. About Bucks Nights.
great.
Okay? So my husband didn't have a bugs night because he's not a creepy perv that needs to hang out with other men and fill up boobs while his wife's, you know, drinking tea with her friends. Mm. So I don't really know that much about bucks night culture. I was really shocked to hear that at this particular bucks night that my friend went to, the skimpy slash stripper slash prostitute that came for the evening to entertain everybody ended up staying all night, drinking with all the guys, taking them into different rooms to give them either oral or manual sex. And then at the end of the night, went for a walk with the bucks. And
with the groom?
The groom. The buck, yeah, the groom. And they slept together. And only a few of the men know that, that were there. So obviously, like, I'm not releasing any information about it. But I was so pissed off. I could not deal with it. People are coming to this wedding because they care about this couple and they're happy ever after and they love the woman and they're bringing presents and they're getting dressed up. There's hundreds of people putting everything into this marriage that he does not give a about. Mm. And so I spoke to my friend and my girlfriend. I was bitching about this scenario and my girlfriend's got four brothers and she goes, Con, really? You don't know? That's what happens at Bucks Night. She was like, you know, every Bucks Night that my brothers have been to, they all end up getting some sort of sexual favour that is given. You know, it's not the old culture of a stripper will come in and she'll do like a half hour show, get her money and go. It's turned into these women that are hired to come for the whole night and depending on how much money people are prepared to put up is how far things go. And she said, that's just what happens now. And I was just like, that's terrifying to me. That's married at first sight all over again.
So whenever we find out really disturbing news about sex, we always reach out to our second best friend. She's a relationship expert. She's a sexologist. She's got her own podcast, Sex and Life.
She's our favourite human.
On podcastone.com. Welcome back to the Queen Sesh, Dr. Nikki.
I love being on the Queen Sesh, especially with things like this. I love a bit of juicy.
All right.
Yes, I was actually like, I've been looking forward to talking about this with you
for weeks.
For so long now.
Great.
So, why does this happen?
Well, I'm going to make a confession. I have been on many bucks nights. Probably too many.
How
as
do
a
you
woman.
Even score those invites?
She's a sexologist. People want her there.
I've done everything from
it's
actually
you're hot,
organizing.
Right? I'm just going to call
thanks,
it.
Thanks. But my clothes were always kept on, right? Always kept on, just for the record. Mum, if you're listening, never popped a boob out. I found myself once actually orchestrating somebody's bucks party when I was in LA and met these guys and they were like, oh, we're on a bucks, and they were all sitting around kind of having a few beers and I was like, where are the strippers? Like, what are you guys doing? And next thing you know, somehow I kind of orchestrated it all. I've been to really, I won't call them tame ones, but I have been to the ones where there's the topless poker girl, there's someone serving drinks, and then somebody comes along and does a bit of a show. A gay friend of mine took me along because he said, I can't sit here with all the straight boys and deal with this. And to be honest, I think bucks parties have gone a little bit for shock value. You know, you hear of what goes on because everyone goes to strip clubs and that's quite a culture I think these days that's accepted in some circles. So what are you going to do for a bucks? You know, you want the girl that's, you know, inserting all sorts of things and putting lollipops in and throwing lollipops around. You know, you hear.
Yeah, I heard some woman gave birth to a rock melon once.
Oh my goodness.
But it's not even,
well, that's
sexy.
Relatable.
It's not even sexy anymore.
I did it last night.
It's just that shock value. You know, how are we going to celebrate this supposed one night of last night of freedom? But then unfortunately you do hear a lot of stories, and I don't want to scare women out there, but it is quite common that sexual favors are given or, you know, traded for money on certain bucks parties. So I think this is a really crappy position for a woman to be in because...
Crappy! Because you look like a ball breaker by saying, I don't want you to have a bucks night.
You don't want to be that person that's like, I don't trust you, don't have a bucks party, or like, hey, you can't go to Vegas with the boys, which I never think is a good idea anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me either.
But how can we not, you know, listen to what's going on and think, you know, are we going to be naive and say that that's never going to happen to us or that's not our partner? Or do we somehow work with this and say to our partners, okay, you want to have a bucks party, let's actually talk about boundaries and respect and things
and like that. And surveillance cameras.
Or just send me along to spy. Like, I'm happy to go to a few more bucks parties and just, you know, kick the stripper away if she's getting too close to your husband to be.
Yes, that's in your business.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, just this is very unnerving, and I hate that unnerving. People think that it's their last night of freedom.
Well, it's not.
You're not free. You're not free.
You were free exactly. before you started the monogamous relationship. Yes. Like, why? If you really feel a need to do this, like, for any guys that happen to be listening to the Queen Sesh, mm-hmm. if you feel that you need to do something really crazy and out there, why don't you do it while you're single? Yes. Why don't you do it before you get into a
relationship? Yeah, all the single men listening, three of you, go out there and do something crazy tonight, because we don't want to hear about it in 5 years' time.
Because really, the whole tradition of a bucks party, it's like, well, what is it? Why do we still have to have bucks and hens? Because if you're the type of person that goes to them, you just know that it's another thing attached to the wedding that you have to spend money on, and they're getting bigger and their destination.
Totally. You got to pay for it. I can't deal with hens. That's why I didn't have one. But I also think that I have had a hen before, and there's no way in hell I'm going to have some flaccid knob wiggling around in my face. Oh. That doesn't turn me on. It doesn't make me feel free. My last night of freedom. Freedom to me is going shopping and spending heaps of money on beautiful bohemian dresses. It's not oiling up a rank body. It's so gross.
And the annoying thing for women is that you have a look what we get as the equivalent, you know, a few penis straws and the male stripper, and girls laugh. You know, you get this guy that comes in and gyrates. I've also organised a lot of, you know, hens parties as well. And half the strippers, I think, were gay men. They weren't, you know, there with anything extra that could have been done on the side. All the girls are sitting there like giggling and laughing like it's like, oh, it's so cheeky, but it's so funny.
Yeah, we're innocent.
But we don't take it seriously.
No, it's not a sexual encounter for women. It's actually more of a women bonding. We're all laughing at, oh, I can't believe this is happening. I don't know any woman that actually sits there going, yeah.
Well, I did once create a male live dessert platter in my apartment for a hen's night, and we covered him in whipped cream and lollies and things like that.
Nutella.
I don't think we had any Nutella, but I did have cream stains still over the walls that I had to repaint. It was pretty hideous. But the girls really dove in, you know, and that's the thing I think it's a matter of social permission. You know, if we look at strippers, that's how we think that we're supposed to behave. We're supposed to laugh. You know, you think of the Chippendales and all of that and Thunder from Down Under. You go along and you scream. Change the dynamics a little bit, you know, and we had this guy laying on the table and the girls were touching him and all of that, and they were really getting into it. So maybe if we had more social permission out there to be more sexual creatures, we would be having strip clubs for women and we would be getting, you know, a bit more close to
men. Do you
think
that we might then be having one last night of freedom as well?
Maybe we would be. Maybe if it was more socially acceptable to be engaging in that.
I love your open
behavior.
Views on monogamy.
She's so much more progressive than us.
I actually have been to a strip club
I'm such a bitch when it comes to that sort of stuff, Nikki. I am the most territorial. Did you look at her? Why did you? That's it. You're walking home. Well, ask her for a lift.
The Queen Sesh with Constance Hall and Annalise.
As you know, this week there was a large dispute in my household because as I was, you know, beautifully, chicly, excitedly getting ready for my 3-year-old's birthday party, so fun. You know, organising the food, and he was just so excited, and we were talking about who's going to be there. He's been talking about it for 3 weeks.
Oh, bless him.
So fun. And as I'm getting ready and I'm counting how many people are there because I was going to order pizza, my husband turned around and he goes, "So this is a big party then?"
Yeah, we've got like baby pigs and everything.
Like, we're just at a playground, 15 kids and, you know, some fruit, a cake. Just kids running around, some champagne for the adults.
The cost does add up though, doesn't it?
It does, it does.
Yeah,
but
I've noticed that.
It wasn't a crazy, ridiculous, hired somewhere with entertainers and themes and decorations. It was very, very simple, very laid back.
The Grinch came along.
And stole the birthday spirit. So he doesn't feel like the kids should have a party every year.
I know this because I heard we had a discussion about it and you told me, key word here, it goes against his values.
Oh.
I hate men with values.
Seriously. Like, so he thinks like, fine, you know, a cake with family every second year, but because he was brought up, because there's 3 kids, that they got a party every 3 years.
Wow. I know, I have friends like that and I admire them. I admire their ability to not cave for their kids.
Yes. But also, it's just so nice for them. They get so excited. You don't have to spend a lot of money to have a little party, a little celebration for the little Sheikis. They deserve it.
They do deserve it. You're right.
Thanks, babe.
They have such a hard life.
I know.
They work so hard to keep this family running.
Next, we're going to be grilling my husband on his grinchy ways and also chatting to some queens to find out their opinion. Where do they sit? All right. So we're going to the source. We have my husband, Clarence, the Grinch, as he's now known.
Hang on.
Do you want me to read you the message Annalise sent me bitching about you?
No, we don't need to do that. That's just
girl. Do I want you to read the message?
No, that's just girl stuff. Otherwise, I can get out the phone to Denzi later on too, babe.
No.
As soon as I said it and I saw her fingers tapping, I knew what happened.
It's the only revenge, really. Tap, tap, tap.
Sorry, Clarence.
Well, I do feel I've been mischaracterised here.
Oh, of course.
In fact,
tell us your side of
the
story, Clarence.
Well, I'm glad you asked, Con. I actually think, contrary to what's been stated, I'm not a Grinch. I think they should have a party every year. I absolutely think that
every year
we should celebrate the birthdays of everyone in the family.
But you said that not a party, just a cake with family. That's not a party, mate.
That is a party.
No. And you take
it's
their
about
families.
The scale and scope of the party. It's the scale and scope of it. It's getting out of control. Now everybody has to have entertainers at a party.
Anyway, so Clarence's stance is that it shouldn't be a party every year, and then the off year you do something just very low-key with the family. So that's Clarence's argument.
That's where he stands.
Thank you, husband.
Thanks, Claire.
All right, let's hear what Shana from WA thinks. Shana, what are you? Are you Team Grinch or Team Annalise?
No, I'm definitely Team Annalise.
Yes.
My family is the kids get a huge party for their birthday, whether they want it or not.
Yes.
It's all about me often
for their
birthdays. I love spending months with the kids going through all the Women's Day cookbooks to see what Mum can make. We design our decorations. My five-year-old's turning six in May. She's already picked to be a Wonder Woman theme, and we have a ball planning for it.
All right, and we're going to hear from Christy from Victoria. Are you Team Grinch or Team Annalise? Should kids have a party every year?
I think that they could have one every year, but not every party needs to be the works. I think the expectation can get a bit much. I threw a disco party for my daughter, and I put so much effort into it and everything. I was so excited about it, and then a kid turns around to me and said, "Is this it? Isn't there going to be a jumping castle or a fairy or a face painter?" I was like, "Oh my god, I failed!"
You're
like, as a mother.
"You're not getting invited all next year, mate."
Exactly.
The Queen Sesh with Constance Hall and Annalise.
Nearly time for us to wrap up, Con. But in keeping with our infidelity theme of tonight's show, we have Queen Vice, and we've kept her around, our favourite second best friend, sexologist Dr. Nikki. You can catch her podcast, Sex and Life, on podcastone.com.
Thanks, girls. Or queens, I should say.
All right, so this one, Nikki, slightly relatable problem.
This could be my favourite Queen Vice ever. I'm just going to
okay. I'm getting excited.
All right, so this queen wanted to remain anonymous. Cool. My partner changed the password on his computer, and when I asked for it later and checked it, he had a heap of porn on there, even though he told me he'd deleted it. Am I being a prude? Does this count as being unfaithful? What's healthy?
Porn is the really interesting one because I think so many women just freak out when they find that their partner is watching porn and they're not confessing about it. So first of all, my concern is the fact that he's changed the password.
Mm.
And I think like when we look at infidelity, infidelity is not about necessarily, I mean, it can be about having sex with somebody else, but it's about being deceitful.
Yeah, so it's about being a sneaky liar.
Exactly. So I kind of think, well, if you're changing the password on the computer and you haven't been forthcoming, like if I change my password on my phone, I'd probably say to my boyfriend, "Oh, I updated my password on the phone because he uses my phone all the time."
Yeah.
If I had changed it and not told him, what does that start to imply? What am I hiding? It's the same thing with this computer and porn. But then when we have a look at, say, the societal views on porn, there's this shame and negative stigma attached to it. So maybe he's actually been brought up to think that this is something that he has to hide. Maybe he thinks that you're not into porn. Maybe he thinks that this is something that is a shameful, dirty little behavior that you do in the study and you don't tell anyone about. So I kind of think examples like this are really great to have that conversation around what role porn plays in your relationship. Because a lot of women really get turned on by it as well. Why shouldn't
porn's
we watch it if
that
we like
bad.
It?
I see
I'm
porn
not really that
as
into it.
For young people, I don't like them who are still discovering their sexuality. I want them to stay away from porn because it's so non-realistic. But
the
because
porn's
you
not
know,
made for them. That's the problem, is that they access
I know,
it, but
and
it's
that
not
is the
made
problem
for
with
them.
Porn.
That's a problem
that
with the internet.
Young people are getting onto it, but I think when it comes to like a fully grown man who is a sensitive lover, knows how to please a woman, knows that sex isn't just about himself getting off. If he wants to get off on some porn, I don't see why it's such a problem. I like what you said about the passcodes, though, because I am in a relationship where we sort of, I think our whole family has the same passcode, and no one really cares, and people pick up each other's phones to call each other's phones, or you know, if my husband's battery dies, he'll grab my phone and he'll be, because he just loves a good Facebook scroll, doesn't even care what he's reading, just reads anything. And so like I love the fact that there's nothing to hide, and if I picked up his phone and I couldn't get into it for some reason, I don't think I could stop thinking about, well, what's in it then, you know?
Well, it's been a great show. Our producer Ellie was away, and it was really a case of when, you know, the cat's away and the mice, we really came out and played tonight.
When she heard that we were doing Ellie. A whole show on betrayal.
And finishing with porn. But yeah, that's us for another week. Please reach out on the Queen Sesh Facebook. We love hearing from you. And you can also find the podcast link on there to hear
and
the whole
show.
And
thank you so much, Dr. Nikki.
Thank you for having me, Queens.
Have a beautiful evening.
Bye.
The Queen Sesh with Constance Hall and Annalise.